This tape is a recording of the special Easter worship service at the Menlo Park Presbyterian Church on April 19th, 1981.
Thank you. We welcome you with joy to this Easter worship service. And you know, for us, this is more than a spring festival. It's more than the observance of an ancient Christian tradition. This is a response to living truth. It's a response to the reality of a presence with us. It's our belief that Jesus Christ is alive and that he's with us today, and that he gives himself in deliverance from doubt and despair and death to all who call upon him. And for this reason, we are glad. We celebrate him and welcome you into this celebration. Now, the service this morning is a unity, and we desire that you not only follow it as you hear the word, but also as it is sung, that you follow the words in the order of service, that you might catch the development of the truth throughout the hour. We are now ready to worship God together. Let us rise and respond in our unison call. Let us repeat together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Our Heavenly Father, giver of life, we bless Thee that we are alive today, able to see, able to hear, able to touch and feel, able to open our lives to You and to one another in You. Lord Jesus Christ, who at great cost gave Yourself that we might be delivered from darkness and death and fear, in order to know Your life, we honor You. And living Spirit of God, who raised our Lord from the dead that He might reign forever at Your right hand, quicken us with His risen life. Dispel our darkness with His glorious light. Warm our hearts with the flame of His love, that this day and always we may love and serve You, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Gospel of Mark, the last chapter in Mark's Gospel, the first 7 verses. Mark 16:1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were amazed. He said to them, Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. The good news according to Mark.
This service is for the glory of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And on this Easter Sunday, we have gathered to celebrate the greatest event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, as have His followers done so for 2,000 years. This is a miracle, providing those of us who believe with 3 priceless treasures, and this is what we would give you this morning in Christ's name. First, the resurrection validates that Jesus is who He claims to be, God in the flesh, the Son of God, the Messiah. Secondly, because He was resurrected, it means Jesus and His sacrifice was accepted by God, and therefore we have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, one of the great gifts without which death would only be an awesome reality of judgment. And then thirdly, for Christians, we have a hope that because Jesus lives, we will live with Him eternally after death. First, let's focus on Christ's resurrection, validating Him to be God in the flesh. Jesus could have lived, He could have taught, done His miracles, and died. And without His resurrection, we would have never heard His name in the 20th century. He rooted His claim to be worthy of what we're doing for Him this morning, giving Him commitment and honor and devotion and love upon His resurrection from the dead. No other human being has ever done that, come back from the grave. On Easter morning, as was just read, the historical account says He came forth from His tomb alive, and at that time, the church, all of us, came into being. And now millions through two millennia will follow him at any cost, rejoicing that he is risen. And that accounts for the joy now that you'll hear in our choir as they sing this song, "He is risen indeed." The fact of history tells us Jesus is alive, which means that we who love him and follow him have a priceless assurance. Our sins against God, our sins against each other, our sins against ourselves have all been eternally forgiven. Those of us who know Christ as Savior can actually look forward to facing a holy God on Judgment Day, and being confident in advance we will pass from judgment to life, because we'll be pronounced not guilty on the basis of this gift from Jesus. And what's best of all, we'll be invited into God's eternal family to live with him and each other forever. It's important to note this morning, nothing can be added to this perfect work of Jesus on the cross. No works of merit on our part are necessary. There is nothing you can do except one thing, and that's believe, receive. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's Savior, and that his death on the cross was payment for your sins. Because you see, believing like that leads to a very necessary process, and that is repentance. Because we believe he died for us, we're no longer comfortable sinning. We turn from that, and we now want his righteousness, his presence filling our life. Because of Easter, because of this assurance of forgiveness and subsequent repentance, death's power over us is broken forever. Satan can no longer accuse us before God, demanding the punishment we so richly deserve, because Jesus bore it all away. The Apostle Paul records this stirring truth for us in 1 Corinthians, and I share it with you in all of its power. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This morning you might have a very black track record. You might wonder, could God forgive me? Isn't there some work, some effort that I can do to help offset what I've done? And the answer is no. The cross is enough. He did it all. And as the choir will richly tell you, it is finished. so-called scientific findings from those who have clinically died and come back create a new boldness even in facing death personally, a belief that perhaps death isn't so bad, and maybe even a door to a better existence than this one on earth. An equally popular view is that the grave simply ends everything. Death brings the curtain down. There is no immortality. We only go around once, and so we put all the gusto into this life, 70 years. As Christians, we affirm both of these views are biblically deficient. The Bible declares there will be a resurrection from the dead for everyone. Would to God that for some death were the end. There's a resurrection for the just and the unjust. A resurrection to judgment and eternal suffering for those who reject God and His offer in Jesus Christ of salvation. And a resurrection for those who trust in Jesus to grace and eternal life. That's not a Presbyterian opinion or a preacher's opinion. Listen to Paul write to the Thessalonians in Scripture. When Jesus comes again, He will be inflicting vengeance upon those who do not know God and upon those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of God. Listen to Jesus respond to the idea that death is beautiful for everyone or a door to nothingness. So it will be at the close of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. And their persons will weep and gnash their teeth. Our sophisticated age has outgrown fire and brimstone preaching. In fact, we're uncomfortable affirming that Jesus is the only way to God and salvation. How much more popular simply to affirm we have our right to believe Jesus is the way, and other people have the right to believe some other way is the way, but in the long run, we'll all get to the same definition. Again, would to God that were true. Jesus wouldn't have been crucified if He would have been satisfied to be one rabbi among others. If He hadn't claimed to be God. If He hadn't said, I am the only door to God and no one comes to the Father but by Me. How wonderful if we didn't have to go out and evangelize the world this morning. We could be happy with what we have in the gospel, but let the others go their own way. We would have had no martyrs for the last 2,000 years. In good conscience on this Easter morning, we cannot express our joy and hope as Christians without highlighting that our joy is a celebration about the fact that we have been saved from the awesome reality of divine judgment and hell, if you please, separation from God. We're not just having a spring festival of joy because the flowers are in blossom. We have been saved from judgment, nothing less than that. And from death, eternal death. And without that as the undergirding, our joy is only shallow. Therefore, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, the alternative to being lost and punished and separated from God forever. Everyone who believes in Me, even though they were dead, yet shall they live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by Me. The centrality of Jesus, risen from the dead, is what gives us the assurance that our sins are forgiven. And what causes this pageantry on an Easter morning. We all want to literally get up and shout, Hallelujah, I've been delivered. And I offer you, what is more important in your life than that knowledge this morning? Deliverance from death and judgment is the gift that Jesus, the Lamb of God, provides. Because very literally, He was sacrificed in your place. Jesus went to hell so you wouldn't have to. He was punished so we wouldn't be. He endured the judgment of God so we could be pronounced not guilty. He did it in flesh and blood. He died as a human being with pain. And therefore, our response as disciples through the years has always been, we love Him because He first loved us. We give because He gave to us. And at this time in our worship service, we express part of our celebration by bringing to God our tithes and our offering as we listen to the choir sing about Jesus being worthy is the Lamb. Treasure the resurrection of Jesus provides for us who follow him is hope. What a priceless commodity in today's world. We began our service by affirming we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance imperishable, kept in heaven for you. As the foundations of this world crash around us, we Christians are in that enviable position of perfect security. Jesus said these words that have comforted us through the centuries. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never really die. What comfort at a time of loss, when we lose one we love or when we face death itself. To be absent from the body is to be present with Jesus. That's our hope. How vital it is then for us to sink our faith into this hope that our bodies, though dead, will experience resurrection to eternal life. As storm clouds gather in Poland, Afghanistan, within the cities of America, as you and I live in a generation that shoots at presidents, kills black children in Atlanta, allows thousands to die of hunger daily, our hope remains in Christ, the one light for the future. You and I know that the worst thing that can happen to us is that we will physically die. Christians do die. Even when we pray that they won't. Chet Bitterman, a martyr, just this last month in Colombia, a missionary who gave his life. Maybe you've prayed for a loved one, and God said no, and they died. Our Easter hope assures us that although time and war and enemies attack us and could destroy this body, we're going to receive a new body in eternity. And therefore our lives have meaning. We are not simply on a cycle of birth, life, death, and infinity. Our Heavenly Father is not planning to keep this world cranking as usual in its own ungodly way. Our hope assures us that society as we know it is not evolving into some beautiful kingdom of God on earth where one day through good legislation and good education we're going to live in brotherhood, justice, and peace. Would that that were true. Lord, our Lord never taught that. He was pessimistic about the world's future. He says that if he had not come to intervene in his second coming, all flesh would destroy itself. The point is, our hope tells us he is coming again and he brings with him a new world and a new heaven filled with righteousness and peace. And after that cataclysm, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we live with him forever. Now that's why Christians can be totally optimistic about tomorrow and why our knees are not trembling with the rest of the world wondering what is coming upon us. We have a tomorrow. And though this body be destroyed, yet we will see God. Let's affirm that hope by singing together, "Because He Lives, We Can Face Tomorrow." I'd like you to all stand and sing it as your testimony on Easter morning. Springtime is such a glorious parable of our resurrection hope. These lily bulbs that were put into the ground have shot up from their grave into all of their splendor. We've watched the trees become more beautiful this spring than ever before, laden with blossoms and now with that new foliage of their moist new green leaves pointing up to the heavens. At the Gerber's house, we've watched our roses come early this year, and in January, when we trimmed them back, we wondered how they'd ever live again. All that was left were just a few dead canes. And out of those thorny, dead canes have come new foliage, and now roses bursting with the colors of the rainbow. And I think of Jesus, who said, if God so cares for the grass of the field and the plants of this earth, what do you think he cares about you and me, his children? And if he resurrects plants who today are blossoming and tomorrow are cast into the oven, won't he much more take care of us, oh, you of little faith? Listen to Paul, the apostle, talk about what God is going to do for you and me. Some of us at this point in life are realizing these bodies that were so great when they were young, if nothing else happens, time is going to get to them and carve them and weaken them. And some of us are getting to that day where we'd like to make a trade. We're glad we're not going to be stuck with them forever. Listen to our gospel hope about our new bodies. Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. And when that miracle has been accomplished, this saying will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. John claimed, eye hasn't even seen, neither has ear heard. It hasn't even entered the heart of humankind, the things God has prepared for those of us who love him. We know this much, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have all passed away. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is our future, not the forecasts of the secular prophets of our time. Our hope is not escapism through the centuries, because we have our future together. We as Christians are on the cutting edge of making this world a place where people's needs can be met, where people can hear the gospel, and we build optimistically until that day Jesus comes. We're liberated from the cynicism that leads people to live by the eat, drink, and be merry philosophy, for tomorrow we die. We know tomorrow we don't die, we live. And we have that hope here on earth, as the choir now will so magnificently minister to you this truth. creates something you just have to let out, doesn't it? This morning I want to conclude by sharing two real-life episodes that reveal the crossroads that every Easter brings humankind to confront. I want to contrast the one who possesses Easter hope as he or she faces death with one who does not possess that anchor of the soul. The first has to do with a father who shares with us his anguish on the day he lost his son. The rays of a late morning South Carolina sun struck me full on the face as I stepped forth from the hospital. I was about to keep the appointment that would prove to be the emotional climax of my day and of my life. On my way to the appointment, I stopped at the diner to have a cup of coffee. I was oblivious to everything except the appointment that awaited me. Leaving the diner, I made my way to a large white house. I followed the owner into a large room where he soon left me alone. I slowly made my way across the thick rug on the floor to a table on the far side of the room. And upon that table was a white box. I stood there before it for an endless eternity before I finally summoned enough courage to look over the top, down into the face of the lifeless body of my son. At that sight, my world collapsed. I would have given up all my academic and athletic awards. I would have given up the prestigious executive training program I was engaged in with one of the great international oil companies. I would have given anything. For the first time in my life, I came to a hurdle I could not clear. My world collapsed. Life without Jesus Christ at one point collapses. And that's what the gospel is all about. That not one of God's children would ever have that anguish. The other side. Recently, Dr. Christy Wilson, a missionary in Afghanistan for 20 years, was preaching in our church. After the evening service, I went and told him that I had known his father. He was a professor of mine at Princeton. I asked about his father's health and learned that his father had died. Promising to send me an account of his father's passing, he said, "I want you to read this because it demonstrates the heights and depths not only of my father's faith but of our Christian hope." Just this week, the letter arrived, and I share its power with you on this Easter Sunday. The last day of Dad's life was Sunday. We stayed home. He watched television for a while, and then he asked us all to sing this old hymn, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, and I was blind, but now I see." When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Then as he was finding it hard to breathe, we sat him on the side of the bed, and he knelt in prayer and he said, "Oh Lord, help me, I can't stand it." But then he lifted his arms to heaven, looked up with his blue eyes, and said with a radiance that came over his face, "I see Jesus." It reminded us of that look of joy that he had always had when he saw us after we had been away for years and came back to the States. After this, my father was wonderfully relaxed, so we laid him on his bed, and he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Today, on this first day of the week, I'm going to go be with Jesus. O Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is thy name in all the earth. O come, Emmanuel." In his bedroom was a cushion that he had given to my mother with these words inscribed upon it, "Happiness is being a grandmother." My father looked at this cushion and he said, "Happiness is going to go and be with Jesus." And then each of us led in prayer around his bed. We sang the doxology together, and as we closed with the amen, he slipped away from us with peace on his face. How we thank God for this positive proof of the reality of eternity. Just after that, a neighbor came over who had shared news of his passing. Wanting to comfort us, she said she went away just full of joy at the happiness that already was there in our home. And then he finishes the letter, "What a thrill at this Easter season to know the certainty of the reality of eternity through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is the Easter message in action, when it counts and where it counts.